Well, hey, I'm glad to have all of you with us. We know that you've got a lot of, thank you, babe. You've got a lot of things that you could be doing tonight, so thanks for taking time to be with us here at Hope. Christmas season is kind of varies through kind of the stage of life that you're in, and I just want to tell you kind of some of the stage of life that we are in and how that's given us kind of some different angles on the Christmas season. Heidi and I, we have two grandsons. They are ages 4 and 6. There's a couple pictures of our craziness right there. And they have brought with them, especially at this age, like all the magic and all the chaos of Christmas this year. We had them for an overnight on Friday. And so as we were driving to go look at Christmas lights, you know, we just, you know, scroll up Apple Music random, just typed in like children's Christmas song playlist, and as it played, there was a song that came on that I have not thought about for probably 20 years, and I thought that was kind of cute until it's been stuck in my head for 5 days now. Oh, it's just, I mean, literally, I wake up in the middle of the night, and most of the time, this song is like just playing in my, it's so strange. A dozen times a day, this song is just stuck. It's kind of maddening. So thankfully, in the first service, I wasn't the only crazy person. So how about you guys? Do you have, like, is there a Christmas song that gets stuck in your head? Just kind of talk to the person next to you for a second. And what are those songs that maybe get stuck in your head, maybe even make you a little crazy? All right, let's throw a few out there.
Wham.
Which one?
Wham.
Wham is a Christmas song? Oh. I gave you my heart, but the very, come on, everybody, stay. You gave, great, that's going to stick for sure. All right, that's good, you're right, thank you. What do you got? Yep, you got one? Oh, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one to stick in your head. Yeah, who else? What else we got? Grandma got run over by a reindeer. There you go. That's what I'm looking for, that kind of stuff. You know, what else? What else gets kind of stuck in your head? Anybody else? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I haven't heard that one, but now that's going to stick in my head. All right, so now, here's the deal. Mine is so random and weird, but it is a kid's song. That's a hint. That if you can, I'll give you guys 5 guesses. If you can guess my song and you weren't here first service, then you win. So go ahead, throw, see, which one? How did you know this? No, it isn't. Do you guys know the hippopotamus song? I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles or rhinoceroses. I only want hippopotamuses and hippopotamuses like me too. There you go. So, all right, Wendy, here you go. You get both of them.
Yay!
Yeah. First service, Brittany got a roll of toilet paper with Benjamin Franklin's on it, courtesy of the youth group. There you go. That's your gift. You actually got, like, something good there. So, all right. So now, that was the song. And by the way, if that song sticks in your head for the next week, and just think of me, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's great. You'll enjoy the hippopotamus song. It is a little absurd. Now, though, let's think of a different kinds of songs. How about songs that not just get stuck in your head, but maybe something a little more meaningful? Like, what Christmas songs move your heart? Turn to the person next to you. Give them kind of like, what Christmas song moves your heart? Just give somebody sitting by you your answer to that question. Now you guys are deep in debate over there on this side here. All right, who's got some? Like, what's a meaningful, what Christmas song really moves your heart? Oh, all right, I'm sorry. I'm going to call time out on that one. I shouldn't do that. No? My wife's telling me not. Of course she knew. The angel told her. All right, no, okay. But that's a moving song. That's a moving song. I won't make fun of any other songs, maybe. Throw them out. It's a safe-ish place. Silent Night, there you go. That's very moving. Yeah, what else? White Christmas. Oh, yeah, it's very nostalgic. What else? Give me a few more. Oh, Holy Night. Oh, that's Heidi's as well. Yep, you love that one. That's a good one. Little Drummer Boy. Yeah, that guy, he's right in the manger scene on the, but that's a good song. It's a good song as a drummer. Which one? Come, O Come, Emmanuel. That's a good one. That one, we didn't even sing that one this year, I think, because Tony wasn't with us on one of our other Sundays, but that's a good one. One more? The First Noel and Silver Bells. Those are both good. They're very nostalgic. The thing about songs, whether they're ones that just kind of stick in your head, or I think maybe even more so the ones that we talk about in the second part, the one that moves our heart, why do songs do that? Like, why do they have such a powerful way of sticking with us and then sometimes of moving with us, moving us? And I think at least the songs that move our hearts, it's because songs are the language of the heart. See, songs, and you could throw poetry in this, songs and poetry express things that we can't put into mere words alone. Songs can tap into deeper parts of our brains, of our emotions, sometimes help us better convey joy or grief or wonder better than just writing out a sentence might be able to do. Especially, I think, sometimes when something extraordinary happens, something that's surprising or joyful or moving, at those times, then songs and poems, they can often just kind of come out of us, whether it's an original song or a poem that we write or a song that we hear that is the one that attaches for us and just makes sense and takes us deeper. And we see this actually happen with songs all over the Bible. All through Scripture, songs actually play a major role. If you just read through the Bible, where people are responding to something that God does, and they reply, their hearts overfill with joy or gratitude or whatever it is, and they sing a song. And this is especially true around the birth of Jesus. There are songs that we find around the birth of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke alone, in the first two chapters, there are at least four songs that appear in the first couple chapters of Luke. It's almost like Luke was writing the first, Christian musical long before Jesus Christ Superstar. Luke, he writes, that was supposed to be sort of funny. There's four songs that he writes. There's the first one, Mary's song. Heidi preached about that a couple weeks ago in Luke chapter 1. Mary just sings out. She's in awe of God, and she can't help but sing about God's favor and gratitude that she has for the justice that she knows God will bring for the poor and the downcast through Jesus. And so she sings. She sings. And then we have Zechariah's song, just a couple verses later, Luke chapter 1. When his son John was born, Zechariah gets his speech back, and he sings out and declares God's faithfulness, God's salvation. He breaks out into song. And then right after Jesus is born in Luke chapter 2, there's Simeon's song. This is an old man who's been waiting for the Messiah, the promised Messiah, and when he finally holds the baby Jesus in his arms, he realizes right there in the temple that he is holding the long-awaited Messiah. He can't help but break out into a song. But the song we want to look at, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on here now, was the song of the angels. The angel song that was sung in Luke chapter 2, when they came and announced the birth of Jesus. They announced the birth of Jesus to, by the way, shepherds who were in their fields. And so let's revisit the scene here. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 10. Let's read this out loud together. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." That was the song that was sung, started by an angel with the announcement, sung with joy. joy. This angel was so full of joy. The angel sang about this good news that will bring great joy for all the people. News that a baby, that the Messiah had just been born. And that news was worth singing about, because what happened next, if you notice from the story there, all of a sudden it went from one angel to a bunch of angels, a whole host, a company of angels appear, and they all begin to praise God. They burst into praise for God's promise of peace to those on whom his favor rests. There's this promise of peace which is worth singing about. There's this favor of God that is worth singing about. And I just was thinking about those two words right there, the peace of God and the favor of God, and that the angels are announcing that through this baby, this baby Jesus, who will be the Savior, God is offering us peace. And I think about us today, and we are just as in need of peace, if not more than they were back then. See, our world today, we could use this good news of peace, couldn't we? Like, just to look around our world, especially right now, and it seems to be a mess of conflict, division, strife, hatred. Our world, in fact, sometimes too often, Christians are getting pulled into making it normal for us to be even more sharply vicious towards people who are not like us, that somehow has become acceptable. And so is it any wonder that peace is in such short supply around us? And really, if we're honest, it's not just way out here in our world. The truth is, if we think about this, each one of us could use more peace in our own lives. Each of us needs more peace in our own hearts. Like, if we want peace out there, if we want peace with our neighbors, if we even want just peace with the family around us, here's the thing. You can't bring peace or give away what you don't have. You can't give away or be peace or bring peace if you don't have it. Like, if you don't have peace, if you want to have peace with those around you, then you'll need to have peace within you. And to have peace within yourself, you'll need to have peace with God. Peace with God. And that might sound like a tall order, but there's really good news, actually. The good news is you don't have to go out and try to scrounge it up and earn peace with God. You don't have to try to earn God's favor. The angel's song makes it clear here that peace and favor come as a gift from God and have come as a gift from God that we can tap into because of Jesus. And because this peace, this favor is a gift, like, you can't earn it, which is also good news because it'd be awfully hard to, so you don't have to earn it. It's just a peace that God offers, a peace that he says, here it is, it is right here, it's there, it's available. But although you don't have to earn these gifts, that gift is there, and we do have to respond. See, God offers us an invitation to step into a life of living in his peace and his favor. It's there, but we do have to say yes to it. We do have to choose it. I mean, think about this. Like, let me say it this way. God offers this way of peace for us to walk in and live life in. And if you want to live in peace, if you want to live in peace with others, peace with yourself, then what we have to do is look at that peace that is there from God and plug into it. That's the illustration that I thought. It was just like, you know, it's like plugging into this peace that's there. And God offers this peace, but we have to plug into it to have the benefit, really, or experience any of it. And I was thinking about this because when we were with our grandsons, we took them to see Christmas lights. We took them out to, anybody been to Agritopia, to the Christmas light stuff out there? Yeah. Like, if you live in Agritopia, you're like, don't tell anybody because it is a mess over there. It's insane. Everybody comes. But it is pretty cool. It is really cool. So we went over early enough that it wasn't quite chaotic. And I think that's, by the way, where that hippopotamus song was on the playlist. So, yeah. So there it comes again. But as we went down, like, the streets that we went down, and we walked them, so we didn't see as much by just the driving. It was really fun to walk. But every single house on the one block especially that we went to, every single house was decked out in lights. But then there was just this one house that at first you're like, oh, they mustn't have decorated. But we got up there and there were some of the lights on, like maybe a quarter of the lights were on. You could see, no, they had decorated and there were lights hung like everywhere. But here's the thing about lights. The lights can be there, but they weren't plugged in. Like somehow they'd gotten unplugged. I mean, at your house, you could decorate your house, like, you know, put all the time in, like Clark Griswold Christmas Vacation. Like, you could deck it out so, like, hey, when I plug this in, they're going to see this from the space station. You could put all that work into it. But if you don't plug in to the power source that's there, then it'll look cool, but you really don't have anything to see if it's not plugged in. And I think that's similar with how it works with God's peace and God's favor. Like, there it is. It's there. It's ready. It's available for us. And if we want to live in peace, peace with others, peace with ourselves, then the first thing we have to do is make the choice to plug into peace with God, to this peace that God offers. So how do we plug into it? Like, how do we connect to this peace, to this favor that the angels sang about? And it's actually pretty simple. Are you ready for this? We just say yes. We say yes to this Jesus that the angels sang about. Like the angels sang that Jesus is good news of great joy for all the people. Jesus is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. The good news actually here is that Jesus is the Lord, which means walking his way, plugging into his kingdom, following the way that Jesus has for a path for us is the way for us to access that peace of God, to plug into it and be connected to it just by saying yes to Jesus. In fact, just saying, Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. I want to plug into the pathway, the truth that you are my Lord. And then we live our lives as people who are connected to Jesus as our Lord, Jesus as our source, Jesus as the source of how we talk to people, of how we treat people, of how we treat ourselves, Jesus as the source that we plug into for how we do our lives. See, that's where peace comes from. Peace gets really messed up when we start plugging into other sources and trying to find life from other things. I mean, you see this all over, especially the American church in this last number of years, is because so many Christians think that we want power. What we want is power. We want to have influence so we can get everybody else to do what we want them to do. You see Christians doing things that are very not like Jesus. We're plugging into the wrong source, and that destroys really the reputation of what God has come to offer to us. But what we can do is choose to unplug from all those other things that are influencing us, voices that are telling us, hey, here's the way that we're going to take America back, or how's... You unplug from that stuff. We unplug from that. We plug into Jesus and his peace, and that really is the only peace. That is the only kingdom. That's the only way that will bring about what Jesus offers when he offers us to live in his peace. Again, that's just saying, okay, Jesus, you are Lord. Your kingdom, your way, not mine. Your kingdom, your way. Not the ones that are tempting because they make me to be the good guy and make everybody else to be the bad. No, no, unplug from all that. Jesus, your will, your way, your kingdom. I plug into you. Jesus, you are Lord. Help me now stay connected to you. Starts with a yes. We're saying yes to Jesus. Yes to following Jesus. That's the start. And in fact, that's a starting point no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. Like if you're at a place right now where you're not experiencing peace, like I've had to continue to wrestle this one through for me this week. All the places where I'm not experiencing peace, I go, God, what am I plugged into there instead of you? And funny, if you ask God these questions, he often will tell you. Even if you don't really want to know, he will tell you. He will guide you some different direction, which means unplugging from all these other ways that I'm trying to get life or get peace and plugging into the kingdom of God, the way of God, the way of Jesus, to him as my power source. And friends, again, no matter where you are at in your spiritual journey, This way of life, this way of peace, is something that we continually come back to stay connected to him, to stay connected to Jesus, because his peace is always available. His peace is always flowing. It's always there, and he always invites us to plug in and experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's the offer. That's the offer. And some of us tonight, and especially if you've walked with Jesus for a long time, and you know that you're not experiencing the peace, it might be a good thing to be reminded of what God's reminding me. So there you go, Merry Christmas. Here's my present to you that God's given to me. To remember this, sometimes I need to unplug from that other stuff. Slow down. I need to surrender and then connect to and plug into God's peace, his way, because Jesus is Lord. Now, I want to take a moment here because I am also aware that on Christmas, some people come to church. And we had a guy here last week that's, he was in his 70s, first time he'd ever come to church. The Christmas season, people come. They come, they're curious. And so if you're here, and maybe you don't have like a relationship with Jesus, you've never said yes to Jesus or plugged into Jesus, into that peace, maybe today's your day. In fact, what a great time of the year to say yes to Jesus, to start following Jesus at Christmas time. So if you've never made that decision, if you've never decided to become a follower of Jesus and then to live your life connected to Jesus, maybe you've done it one time before or a few times before, but you look at your life now and go, man, I'm just kind of off wandering and not connected to God. And man, I would like to take that step of following Jesus, of saying yes to Jesus. You can do that right now. In fact, we're going to take a moment, and I'm going to pray, and you can pray along with me. We're not going to ask you to raise your hand or come to the front or anything. So this is you. It's between you and God right now to take that step, and I just want to invite you into it. So I'm just going to pause and pray, and you can pray with me. In fact, I'll pray a simple prayer. It's not a magic formula, but I'll pray this simple prayer so you know what you're getting yourself into. And then I'll pray it again, and you can pray quietly along with me. But it begins by stepping into this peace God offers. You can start that journey by praying something simple like, Jesus. Jesus, I say yes to you. I say yes to you, Jesus. I give my life to you. Forgive me. Come and live with me and live within me. Jesus, I choose now to follow you. So it can be that simple, friends, that simple. So I'm going to pray that again. And if it's your heart to begin that relationship with Jesus, to make that start, or to reconnect to Jesus and start that journey with Jesus, just quietly in your heart or out loud, you can pray along with me. I'm going to pray that again. So Jesus, I say yes to you. I give my life to you. Forgive me. Come and live with me and within me. Jesus, I choose now to follow you. Amen. And again, friends, that's such a good thing to do. And if you are someone who prayed that prayer to start following Jesus, I want to ask you to do one thing. I want you to make sure that you tell someone tonight. I want you to tell someone that is already following Jesus, tell them tonight. You can come talk to me afterwards, or my wife, or any of the team here. Any of us would love to talk. We pray over you too if you want, but just tell someone. Make sure someone knows that you did that and prayed that prayer, because we want to find a way to walk with you. And if you began that journey tonight, may you experience this deep peace unlike anything you've ever known before this week. Now, for the rest of us, This peace is available for us to continue to return to and come back to. And so tonight, I want, as we read and listen to the Christmas story, I want to frame it, and I want to encourage you to open your hearts to the peace and favor of God that goes on display in the birth of Jesus. And we can't let this night slip by without remembering the story, this good news of great joy for all the people story of the birth of Jesus. And we started out the service with that really fun, playful children retelling the Christmas story. And in a moment, we're now going to read more of the words of Scripture that recount the birth of Jesus. And then we're going to watch a video that's kind of a creative imagination of what might have looked like, the Christmas night might have looked like through the eyes of the shepherds. The Chosen had a great clip that we're going to use. But again, as we hear this story that some of you have heard 1,000 times, as you hear this story, open your hearts, your imaginations, to allow the Spirit of God to move at this good news of great joy, at this peace of God, the favor of God that's being put on display through the birth of Jesus in this story of stories. And maybe our hearts will awaken and sing and resonate with the song that the angels sang, this song of God's peace and favor that is now available to us through Jesus because of the Christmas story. So as Addie comes now to begin that reading, listen with fresh ears, open your heart to the night that changed history forever, the night where peace, favor, and light broke into the world in the form of a baby.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
"Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." "And shall call his name Emmanuel."